I'm Andy Bates. You're listening to Faith and Family, the book that has influenced us probably more than any other book, a whole museum dedicated to that. The Museum of the Bible, opening this fall in Washington, D.C. Joining us now by phone, Stephen Bickley. He's with the Museum of the Bible. Thanks so much, Stephen, for joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Stephen, tell me about this new museum opening in Washington, D.C., Museum of the Bible. We talked a little bit about it last year when we first heard about this idea. What is the Museum of the Bible?
Great question. Museum of the Bible was formed as an idea back in 2010 and kind of grew out of a vision to say, look, the best-selling book of all time really doesn't have a museum dedicated to it. And so we formed this and we define ourselves as a global, innovative educational institution, and our sole purpose is really to invite people to engage with the history, narrative, and impact of the Bible.
The history and narrative impact of the Bible. Now, who would come visit this Museum of the Bible? It'll be in Washington, D.C., correct?
Yes. So we are building a 430,000 square foot museum right there. It'll be three blocks from the Capitol, right by the Air and Space Museum. So God truly blessed us with an amazing location right there in the heart of D.C. and in the heart of all the museums in our nation's capital. The people that will want to come visit it is all ranges of people. So if you are attend church regularly Sunday and have a love for the Bible, you will want to come. If you attend synagogue and have a love of the Torah, you will want to come. If you're a history buff, you will want to come. If you're an academic, you will want to come. If you just want to know a little bit more and learn and grow as an individual, you will want to come. So really, we like to say that Museum of the Bible is open for people of all faiths and no faith, and we'll welcome all into the museum.
What do you think would be the appeal for those who are skeptical about the Bible or don't regard it as the Word of God?
I think to come in and see an academically rigorous and scholarly presentation of it, and to learn more about it. It has a book that has shaped our culture. It has helped shape our nation. A lot of the principles upon which this nation was founded flow out of the Bible, and it's just an absolute fascinating element. For me personally, I look forward to the impact for it, because if you look at our modern medical system, it grew out of, the hospital system grew out of the impact of the Bible, people being motivated to care for the least of these.
Now, you mentioned 430,000 square feet in this museum. Paint a picture for us. What will we encounter in the Museum of the Bible?
So 430,000 square feet, the museum will be 170 feet from top to bottom. So you can think of that as a 17-floor building.
Wow.
But the individual floors are about 20 feet each. So it'll end up being nine floors that people will be able to come and visit. And so the three primary floors are exactly that, a floor dedicated to the history of the Bible, a floor dedicated to the narrative of the Bible, and a floor dedicated to the impact of the Bible. Then there'll be special exhibits and libraries. Each floor has a different designer. And so we've contracted the best in the business to help us create this museum. So the narrative floor is being done by a group out of California, BRC Imagination Arts. And they design, if you will, experiences for Disney, Universal Studios. And so they will help us, tell the stories of the Bible. So a lot of people that will come through, may know absolutely nothing about the Bible, and we're thrilled. And so we'll take them through both the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament so they can learn the story of the Bible, and then on to the history floor, where we'll talk about the different canons of the Bible, how they came about to be, how do we know the scribal tradition and the accuracy of the Bible, and then on to the impact. What has the Bible done in every area of society? So fascinating stories for people to learn and engage with.
Perhaps you could walk us through some of the exhibits from each of these floors that you think are significant.
Yeah, so the on the impact floor, it really is two different sections. We'll have the Bible in America and the Bible in the world. And so the Bible in America, we'll talk about the founding fathers and how it came to be and how it actually influenced various elements of our Constitution and our freedoms that we enjoy. And then the Bible in the world will have 26 different areas that talk about how the Bible's impact everything. So one of the ones, there'll be stuff that will surprise people. So we'll have one of those 26 exhibits will be dedicated to the Bible's impact on fashion. And, you know, it was just fascinating as the designers were looking through one of the top New York City fashion shows of 2014 was literally the Bible's impact on fashion. And they used the Bible to inspire all kinds of new runway designs. And so that will surprise people.
Wow.
And then we talk about the Bible's impact on crime and justice and how different biblical-based rehabilitation programs have a greater success rate in helping criminals reassimilate into society. We'll talk about the Bible's impact in compassion ministries. And then another area we have is kind of like a New York Times Square, if you will. It's called the Bible Now area. And partnering with YouVersion and their 230 million users across the globe, people will be able to actually see interactions live with the Bible, how people are engaging at that very moment in time. So it'll be a quite fascinating experience. And, of course, the museum will be loaded with technology to help the visitor, if you will, get the most out of their experience there.
So that's fascinating, taking this ancient document, the Bible, and using technology, the most modern technology, in the same Bible. How so? How do you use this modern technology in conjunction with this very ancient document that has impacted so many people throughout history?
Yeah, if you actually look at the history of the Bible is one of the first, if you will, to always embrace new technology to get its message out. You know, for the evangelical Christian, it's definitely to help fulfill the Great Commission. And so whether it was in the New Testament time, how the spread of the Gospels took place by using the form of the Codex, or it was Gutenberg, using the printing press to print the Bible, or one of the very first apps in the App Store being the YouVersion Bible app. There is a long history of embracing technology. So what we are going to have is what we call a digital guide. And think of it as a smartphone. And that smartphone will allow you to personalize your tour of the museum. So you say what is interesting. So if you're interested in the Reformation, you can have things that will highlight that in your tour. If you want just a 40,000-foot walkthrough, we can help you with that. If you want a deep scholarly view, we can help you with that. And that's where technology will enable it. Our IT team has developed basically indoor positioning technologies. There's four patents pending right now around this technology. But just outside, we use satellites to give us GPS, and we use Google Maps. But indoor, there is no such technology that exists. And so there's people that have worked on it, and we've partnered with them. And so when you walk through the museum, your handheld device will know where you are within 6 inches of any place in the museum. And they'll be able to direct you to the next item of interest or tell you about the item that you're looking at in front of you. And we use that device also for to help deliver additional content, videos, have 9 languages. It will help us with people with disabilities and being able to see it. So the technology and the basically smart device is one of the centers to the customer experience that people will have when they enter the museum.
That's fascinating. It sounds like you could spend like weeks at a time visiting this museum with all that you've described so far.
It could be overwhelming. internally, I think there's a debate that rages on how much content we will have to see. But the best guess that we've come up with is it would take 9 8-hour days to be able to read and see everything that we will have in the museum. And so that's the great thing is you don't need to come and do it all in one visit. You will be able to come back many times and find new items. And, of course, there will be constantly rotating temporary exhibits that will talk about the Bible. So there will always be something new and fresh to come back and see.
What about for families with young children? Will there be exhibits that would be engaging for young children?
Yeah, one of the things that has been a challenge for our designers is we've done a lot of temporary exhibits and traveling exhibits that have gone around the U.S. and around the world, and we realize how important they are to families and families with young children. And so every time we did one, we kept expanding the children's area in the museum. So there will be a very robust set of children's area, and we'll have a Courageous Pages, which is a lion. And kids with their digital docent will be able to see, using augmented reality, the footprints of this lion throughout the museum. And it will take them to different parts where they will find areas of interest for the children that's really geared towards their age and learning level.
What about older children or teens? Are there exhibits that would be specifically appealing to them?
Yeah, well, and that's, we talked about technology, and I think that's one of the things that if you're a teen and you love technology, you just can kind of come and geek out on what we will have in the museum. So our hope is as they read about this groundbreaking technology that we're using, how we're deploying a smart device that actually has 2 cameras in it, because if you just have 1 camera, you can't really do depth perception, and you need depth perception for some of the applications we're doing. We're hoping that especially the teens will kind of take a look and want to come experience what that technology can do. And then we'll have augmented reality experiences for them, and we'll have a flyboard theater, which is great for people of all ages. And the flyboard creates the sensation of flying. So you'll stand up and you'll be almost like an amusement park ride. It'll have your shoulder harness on you, and you will literally fly around Washington, D.C., and you will see all the different places in our nation's capital where the Bible's been inscribed, and references to the Bible and all our monuments and government buildings. And that will be a great experience for teens.
What do you think? I mean, that sounds fascinating, just that alone. what do you think is going to be the most unexpected or unusual exhibit, just from your perspective so far?
for me, I'm looking forward to spending some time on the impact of the impact floor. I think that is what personally piques my curiosity the most, is learning that story of how the Bible has inspired so many people. And like the civil rights movement, its connection to the Bible, and Martin Luther King Jr., in his famous I Have a Dream speech, it was basically just totally intertwined with biblical allusions and references and scripture. And that's it flew out of his heart, and that gave, if you will, the anthem to the civil rights movement. You can trace back to the Bible. That's the kind of stories personally that I'm looking to spend some time and learn more about an experience.
Will the, you mentioned earlier some exhibits that have traveled around the country. Will there be, is the Museum Bible limited just to this location in D.C., or there, does it reach beyond D.C.?
So our traveling exhibits, we visited six different cities in the U.S. It was an exhibit called Passages. And internationally, we've gone to Cuba twice. We've been at the Vatican twice. We were in Argentina. We were in Germany last year, and we'll have two exhibits in Germany this year to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And, you know, we've partnered with the Catholic Church. Oh, I forgot to mention, we also had an exhibit at the Bible Lands Museum in Jerusalem. And so a lot that we do over in Israel, a lot of partnerships there with Israel. And we'll talk about the Jewish roots of Christianity, but mainly focus on the Torah and the prophets and various history that's a little bit more specific to the Jewish audience over there in Israel, but always just talking and celebrating the Bible. That's one of the great things that we've had and that we've learned as we come across with it is that if you just present the Bible, it's amazing how people can come together. And so specifically in Cuba, literally our first exhibit was before the trade relations had thawed, and I came together was the government working with the Catholic churches and the Protestants to bring a Bible exhibit over to Cuba. And so some of us, when we look at it, definitely believe there was a faith angle that created that cooperation to make that happen.
Since it is a museum, that means there must be a collection. There must be artifacts, right? Tell me about the collection. Where did these artifacts come from? How did you gather them?
This is it's been fascinating. So the original collection or collector, if you will, is the Green family of Hobby Lobby. And back in the economic downturn, they started buying some of these. And they're not collectors to put it in a closet. They're collectors to get out and tell the story of the Bible. So they only got artifacts strictly to help tell that story. And what's been really fascinating over the last several years is that they've done that. There's a lot of people that have come out of the woodwork and say, I've got a collection too. And I may not want to sell it, but I'd like it to be used. And so when we talk about the collection at the Museum of the Bible, we actually use plural because there are multiple collections that are there. We used to say that we have over 40,000 items in the collection, but when we start looking at the access to other collections, you start getting up into the hundreds of thousands or even millions. And one area, specifically in the museum, will be a dedicated space to the Israel Antiquities Authority. And they, by law, any artifact that is found in an archaeological dig in the state of Israel becomes property of the state and is deposited in the Israel Antiquities Authority archive. And so they have over 2 million artifacts, and they will have a permanent 4,000 square foot exhibit, and they will rotate that. And so we're excited to see if they will bring out some Dead Sea Scrolls that haven't been viewed to the public or new artifact findings and how they're going to rotate it. But we're constantly working with them, and that's one of the exciting areas around artifacts that will be available for the public to see.
So the collections really are a collaborative effort from multiple sources around the world.
Yeah. And you get into libraries and other institutions, other museums. So we'll have loans that go back and forth. And what's nice is by just focusing on the Bible, there's a lot of people and a lot of museums and collections that have items that are specifically related to that that will fit in a story for us that independently may not fit in some of the other museums and stories that they have to tell. So we've had great response around the world with the collections and the opportunity to collaborate.
Outstanding. Well, let's talk about what's coming this fall and how to plan for a visit to the Museum of the Bible. A grand opening coming up this fall. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes. So we're shooting. We're putting together the plans right now. The actual day that the ceremony will be the 17th of November. And the grand opening, people often think of it as a one-time ribbon-cutting ceremony, but it's actually a period of time. And so visitors who really want to get in the grand opening period will probably be up through around the 17th of March. And we're going to have special events and activities each week that will celebrate the grand opening. Is this going to be a mile a minute, if you will, adventure? The museum will be a suggested donation, so anyone can get into it free. We will have memberships to help it become self-sustaining, and those memberships will have a whole bunch of benefits, including early access to the museum and the ability to schedule like the flyboard ride ahead of time. And those will start going on sale probably in a couple months, probably in the month of May is when we'll have those ready and the systems built for that.
You mentioned earlier, it could take 9-8 hour days to cover everything in the museum. Any advice on how to plan for a visit, especially for those of us not located, close to Washington, D.C., who might be making a trip to D.C.? Any tips on how to plan, how to prepare for that? How much time to allot for a visit to the museum?
I would say give yourself a minimum of 2 hours. Our research shows that 2 hours is a good time for people to come in and see items of interest. So at 4 hours is great. I wouldn't plan much more than that. I'd make it multiple visits and come back. There's a lot to see in D.C., but probably in that 2 to 4 hour time frame is perfect. We'll have cafes that people can enjoy, too. But this is not to say anyone to shy away from spending 8 hours at the museum. There'll be plenty of content, but sometimes it's better to have a little bit letter and less content, let it soak in maybe a little bit deeper.
Do you anticipate special events as well, perhaps special engagements with speakers or other presentations?
Yes. Absolutely. That will be part of the membership benefits and the calendar that we will put out of events. But we would expect to have a lecture series that will go on there. It'll have broadcast facilities. And so we would expect people to be broadcasting from it and all kinds of events that will take place. So it will constantly be in use.
Constantly a busy place and right in the heart of Washington, D.C. Anything else as we look forward to this grand opening in November? The website, museumofthebible.org, correct?
You got it. That's absolutely it. And we announced here, we're down at the National Association of Religious Broadcasters, and we announced today that on the world stage, we have a 472-seat theater, and on that stage, the opening play will be the Broadway musical Amazing Grace, which tells the story of John Newton, and we're very excited for that, and tickets for that will go on sale on the 21st of March, and so people who plan their visit can also plan a night of entertainment at the museum, and that'll run 8 weeks through the 7th of January.
Very good. Museumofthebible.org is the place to find information. We'll post a link to that as well with our on-demand archive of the program today. And just exciting to look forward to this. Stephen, what are you looking forward to most about the grand opening this fall?
I think customer feedback. I'm personally excited to see the people that come through and what did they enjoy, and to hear their stories and see how it touched people. That in our traveling exhibits has been the most rewarding aspect of this. And so at the end of the day, for us, it's really about the visitor and the guest experience. And that's what we're most looking forward to is hearing those stories and and seeing what God is doing in people's lives.
Well, it sounds like an exciting adventure. Looking forward to the grand opening this fall and all that comes with it. Thanks so much for being my guest today, Stephen Bickley from the Museum of the Bible. It's been a pleasure to talk with you today.
Andy, it was my pleasure also. Thank you.
It certainly sounds like a great adventure. Going to put it on our to-do list for places to visit in the coming year, coming years as a family. Hope you can, hope you as the listener can make it there as well. Check it out. And if you make it there before I do, check it out, send me an email, family@kfuo.org. Would love to hear from listeners who have made it there to visit the Museum of the Bible this fall. And share your feedback with us. Share your story. We've got Thy Strong Word on the way here on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.